All right, then. So, moving on to your next bit of retro gaming news. What is that, then, matey?
I don't know.
Hello, Retromaniacs. Welcome to the UK number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. I'm your host, Andy, and joining me today is the one, the only...
Dean Swain.
How are you, matey?
I'm good, right? Thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. So this is attempts, God knows how many times, to do episode 9.
Yeah, we've been pulled away, haven't we?
And then the guys from B&Q arrived, and I had to rush off and sort that out.
I bet you're worn out after that.
I tell you what, I couldn't even speak after that. There's no way I could record the podcast because I had all the laminate flooring arriving for my new house. So, yeah, what have you been up to anyway?
I have been last show? Up to early morning shifts, which have been totally knackering me. I've been doing a bit of graphical work again on the Spectrum version of Double Dragon.
Ooh, tell us about that.
Well, there should be a demo released on the 3rd of February, so by the time this is released, there should be a technical demo of that game finally out. It's taken years and years.
Right.
But the programmer assures me there will be a demo released on 3rd of February, which also happens to be my birthday. So is that a coincidence? I don't know.
Well, happy birthday in advance, mate. And where will we find this demo?
There will be a link. I'll put a link in the forum. We might even announce it as news as soon as I test it and see what it's like. There is actually a topic over on the World of Spectrum forums, the development topic on it on the forum. So if you've been following that and you'll know where to find it, it'll be there. But yes, I'll definitely make sure there's a link on the site of Retro Asylum.
That would be fantastic. And I notice as well now, you're sounding a lot more clearer, a lot more crisper, a lot more deeper.
Oh, yes. That's because I finally got a new microphone. It's probably picking up far too much because it seems to be a bit oversensitive.
Right. Yeah, and what microphone is this then, Swainy?
It's a Snowball by Blue.
Right, okay. Of course. And sorry if I'm giggling, but my cat has joined us for the podcast.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so tell us about this mic. How much did this mic cost you, then?
Actually, is this a Snowball or a Snowflake? It's the Snowflake, it's the smaller one, yeah. This was about £30, I think.
Really? Wow, okay. Because I saw that on Amazon for about, I think, £50.
Yeah, I'm sure I paid about 30. I can't remember. I'm getting old. The memory's going. But, yeah, it's very sensitive, it seems. So if there's a little bit of hissing in the background, that'll be why.
Right, my cat is next to my pop filter. And speaking about pop filters, let me tell you a little bit about my new pop filter I've got. Now, there's nothing more that I hate than popping. And I think they're called plosives.
Yeah.
And I'm very guilty of that on my early YouTube videos. On my early YouTube videos, all you can hear is loads of puh. And I really hate that. I find it really annoying. And I only really noticed that when I was watching my videos on YouTube on the Xbox. I realized that coming through the TV, how many plosive they were. So basically what I've done, I've created my own makeshift pop filter. And the way I've done that, I've got one of my wife's embroidery hoops, got some of her old tights, wrapped it round loads, and hopefully that will do the job. Looks pretty nice as well.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. We'll have to send you a Blue Peter badge for that effort.
Yeah. Right, so let's talk about what you've been playing then, matey.
Be honest, not a lot. I've still been playing Cyclone on my canoe. As you know, I normally stick to the iPhone a lot these days, and emulators, but I've been so tired, I've not really been playing an awful lot. Like I say, any spare time I've had, I've been brushing up some of the Double Dragon graphics, so that's what I've been doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think the results will be worth it, and I'm looking forward to seeing this demo. Let me quickly tell you what I've been playing. Now, recently, this year, I've started my Beat a Game a Week challenge, where every week for the whole year, I'm going to try and finish a game. Now, I'm a little bit ahead of schedule, and the reason being is because I'm moving house in February.
Yeah.
Oh, it is February. In a few weeks, I'm moving house, basically. Yeah, so I finished games like Bruce Lee, Quick Snacks on the ZX Spectrum. Recently as well, I've finished Target Renegade on the ZX Spectrum, and I uploaded that to the Retro Asylum set, and that's got an interesting reaction, actually.
It certainly has. I was going to say to you, actually, I might play through the Amstrad version, because I think Malk said he found it very hard, which I've got to admit, I don't agree with. I think exactly the same as the ZX Spectrum version.
Well, what I've done as well, I'm not sure if you've noticed, I've stuck a poll now on the forum, and basically you can select whether you like the Spectrum, Amstrad, Commodore 64, or other. So there is another version that is the NES version.
Apparently. Yes, that's dreadful, as well as the C64 version. Sorry, people who like the C64 version, but you are wrong.
Yeah, so guys, honestly, try and convince us why you guys like the C64 version. I can't see it, but, you know, let us know why you like that version.
Yes, we know the music is superb. It has the best music out of all the versions, but, you know, music only enhances a game. It does not make the game, so...
Hello everybody, this is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
The last show was episode 8, and it was basically called Rose Tinted Glasses. So what did you think of that last show then, Swainy?
Very interesting. What I did find interesting was Glenn's view of the arcade games. Obviously, when he was going to arcades, it was... like the final phase, it was when all the 3D games started coming out, which we all know the PlayStation could more or less produce fairly faithful conversions, and you know, people stopped going to arcades because of the PlayStation. That's my view anyway. So it was interesting to hear him get quite excited about Virtua Racer and Virtua Fighter and Virtua this, 3D that, and there's, you know, my view of the arcades, obviously, you know, I'm 37 now, so I can remember when Space Invaders was showing up and, you know, those sort of games, the early games, Pac-Man and what have you. But for me, the golden era was around probably from 1985 up to 1992, maybe. Yeah, you had all the big classics then.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing that you've mentioned there, because, like, you're nearly 37, I'm 35, and Glenn is 28, I believe. Yeah. So the age varies on our memories and certain games that came out in a certain time. Now, later on in the podcast, we're going to do our top 10 favourite arcade games.
Yes.
And we're going to do each of our top 10s, and you're going to see how it varies and how it relates to certain people's ages. But anyway, going back to last podcast, I want to give a big special thanks to Denaris, a.k.a. Matt, who had a little segment on the show, and I think he did an amazing
piece. I totally agree. He's, you know, he seems to be very well informed. He knows what he's talking about. He's got a great voice for doing a podcast. I really enjoyed what he had to say. It was great listening, and I've got to admit, I think I mentioned this either on a topic reply or on the actual forum. His gaming life's mirrors mine quite a bit. You know, his first console was an Atari 2600, then he went onto the Spectrum, then I think he had a Commodore 64, which I never had, and then he went on to the Amiga and missed out on the Mega Drive and SNES, so to speak, you know, at the time. And that is pretty much how I was. I first of all, I had a console, which was the Atari 2600, went onto the Spectrum, kept that until about 1992, then I bought an Amiga.
Yeah.
First thing I'd done with my Amiga was emulate the Spectrum.
Did you? I didn't know you could do it on the Amiga.
Yeah, you could do it. It ran very badly. It was very slow. But I remember playing some days on the Amiga because, you know, the Amiga didn't have that kind of game on it. And there was a lot of games. I would go and buy the 16-bit equivalent of the, you know, the Spectrum titles that I had. And I admit, a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, there was... I felt the 8-bit versions were superior to the 16-bit versions. They seem like rush jobs. I don't know if you ever played Renegade on the Amiga.
I've never seen that, actually. I didn't even know it was actually on the Amiga.
Have a look on YouTube. It's very, it's much more closer to the arcades, and for that, it doesn't play as well. You know, the Spectrum Amstrad versions, again, are a lot better, I feel, than the actual arcade game, and they're more playable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, you know, my view on the Amiga, and there was some great games on it. without a doubt. But yeah, when I first started buying games, I was getting those the 16-bit equivalents, and a lot of the time they didn't really do the games justice.
Yeah, well, I think what we're going to do at some point, we're definitely going to get Denaris, you know, Matt, back on the show. I mean, because of my shifts and so on, I don't think I'll be able to record with him, but we're kind of hoping that you might be able to do it. So we're going to try and sort that out.
Yep.
Maybe for episode 11 or maybe episode 12, we can get you to record an episode. Let me quickly plug something. I've managed to line us up with an amazing guest, Swainy. I'm not going to mention who it is. I've told you who it is.
Yes, you have. And, you know, this is a big interview in my eyes. You've done well tracking him down, so I'm looking forward to it when it does actually happen.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I reckon this is this person I'm going to interview is up there with the Oliver Twins. If you're a retro gaming fan from the late 80s to the early 90s, you'll know exactly who it is once I announce it. You might also be conducting an interview with someone else. Don't want to mention who it is either. We'll keep it as a surprise.
Yes, someone who, you know, I've admired his work. He seems like a really nice guy. I've spoken to him recently, so we'll try and get him on. Like I say, I don't want to mention his name just yet, just in case he does refuse and I wouldn't
blame him.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, if it does happen, then again, you know, that's two very good interviews we've got coming up.
Right, so before we move on to site news, which is the next part, I just want to say to you, Swainy, how do you think the site is coming along and the podcast is coming along now?
You know, I listen to the podcast when I'm not on it. Don't get me wrong, I do listen to the ones that I record, but I listen to the ones that I'm not on, and I really do enjoy them.
Yeah.
They're always very interesting. The site itself, you're getting some great visitors. We're getting plenty of feedback now. You know, that Target Renegade topic, that's really buzzing at the moment.
Oh, it's, definitely.
It's working really well. And also, you know, there's feedback on other forums, and people are listening to us and enjoying the show. So it, to me, that's what we need to do, is just keep on doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're getting great feedback.
And I think this is a site that I'm definitely going to stick with. I want to continue to do this for years to come. And I'll tell you what, the iTunes reviews have been coming in really fast now. We've got 14 iTunes reviews. I'll mention who those iTunes reviews are a little bit later towards the show. But guys, please keep those iTunes reviews coming, because it really motivates us. It gives us that little incentive for us to actually carry on doing these shows. It really motivates us.
I'm also going to say, guys, if you do enjoy the show, please do spread the word, because the more listeners we get, the bigger buzz we get, and hopefully we can keep on producing quality shows. First up, what I'm going to mention is Barbarian is coming back. They're doing this for the PC and iPad and iPhone.
Right, so how similar is it to the original C64 and Speccy versions?
Well, it's done in 3D. You can still chop your opponent's head off. The trailer doesn't really reveal too much.
Right.
I believe it's being made by a French publishers. I'm not too sure who's programming it, but it's Microids. Like I say, I believe they're French, because they keep quoting the Amstrad version as being the original game.
Right, so okay.
I don't think it was the case, but as we know, the Amstrad was very popular over in France, so
that's right.
That's why I'm getting that feeling. I've got to admit, I've not really researched it, but I'm guessing they're...
Well, I mean, the original one was done by Palace Software, wasn't
it? Yeah, who were, I believe they were based in London, so, you know, that's a UK company.
So, you know, when you say the game is 3D, Swainy, is it 3D like Virtual Fighter, or
it uses,
3D?
It uses just polygons for the graphics. Mostly it looks like a 2D view, but I think, you know, when you chop the guy's head off, you might get a bit of rotation and, you know, a bit of 3D effect that way. I don't know, I'm just not feeling the vibe on this one. I think they should have stuck to 2D graphics. You know, if you get a retro game, unless you're going to produce really good 3D graphics, then I think you're better off sticking to 2D. And the graphics I've seen, they don't look that hot at all.
Oh, no. Well, has it got the saving grace, which is Wolf from Gladiator and Maria Whittaker?
No, there's no sign of them. There's no, you know, the artwork they have shown, it's just your generic barbarian-looking character. It's, you know, it's not actual photo work. You know, it's not real people. This is all graphically produced. So
that's a real shame, though, because I think as a great publicity stunt, they could have recruited them, you know, have like the original Barbarian as the king and have a new younger Barbarian with a new younger princess to save.
Yeah,
is this game game got more fighters to fight against?
I've only seen in the trailer it shows two different fighters. You've got the what's the bad guy in Barbarian?
Yeah. Drax.
Drax, yeah. He's back, and there's another ugly looking guy, but that's all the trailer reveals.
Right, so last week, or from the time this podcast comes out, it'll be 2 weeks ago, the largest gaming controller got unveiled in London. I think it was in Liverpool Street.
Yeah.
And that controller was the NES controller, and it was actually 30 times the size of a regular NES controller.
Really?
So that's pretty massive.
Yeah, that is huge. What is it, an American who's designed it? They like big things.
Again, I didn't do my research, but it's a huge controller. That's all you need to know. Oh, and it's playable as well. So it actually connects to, an NES. And I think they were playing Super Mario 3 on it. And you could step on it to use it. It's that big.
Yeah.
And you can control the D-pad. You have to push down the buttons.
So it'd probably take 3 or 4 people to actually play the game, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, a bit of teamwork there. Yeah.
Game Expo East Kent 2012 Geek. This is running from February the 15th to the 19th. It's basically each day they're going to have a different event. Let's have a look. They get on Wednesday. Right. FIFA Through the Ages. Street Fighter 2 Turbo. King of Pong. Winners Medal Ceremony. Basically each day over that period there's going to be different events. A lot of retro stuff, and some of the stuff is actually, you know, on the Xbox. Halo 2, Halo 2 event.
So where is this, did you say? This is in Kent near Margate, basically.
That's right. Let's see exactly where it is.
And it's a great area, actually. It's got some great retro gaming memories, because Margate used to have Funland, I think it was called, which is a huge amusement park back in the day where they had loads of arcade games, roller coaster rides, and the whole seafront used to be covered in arcades. I used to go there every year. So if you're a retro gaming fan, I definitely recommend that you check out Geek 2012.
Yes.
And what we will do, we'll post something on the site as well, giving you the details, how you can get tickets. So any more on that then, Swaney?
I think it's the same people who arranged the Retro Expo that we went to.
Yeah, it's done by a company called Replay, and those are the same guys that have done Replay Expo, so you can definitely guarantee that it will be a great show. So definitely recommend it. Check it out, and let us know what you think of it if you do manage to go.
Yeah, I think the Saturday is probably going to be the best day, so if you're going to go down there, go Saturday.
Right, so let me tell you my next and last bit of retro gaming news. Nintendisco have got a monthly event being held at Brick Lane. Now, what this event is, it's sort of like a nightclub sort of feel to it, like in a bar. But it's got gaming music that Nintendisco play, and they play like all sorts of gaming tunes. And you can go down there, have a beer, play some Super Nintendo. You can go down there, play some other consoles. You can go down there and basically mix with other retro gaming fans. So it's once a month. It's towards the end of the month. I think it's around the 26th, 27th of this month, and I am going to try and make it to this.
Yeah, sounds like a good night out. Barcade, they should call it, really.
Yeah, so what's your view on this then? Like, do you think it'll work?
I don't know, because to me, I've got to admit, it sounds a bit geeky. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? It sounds geeky. Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of being able to go to a bar and they've got games there. Actually listening to, you know, jazzed up Nintendo music. And I'm sure he'll be doing, you know, he does other game music as well. I don't know. It'll probably be a good night, but I just find it a bit odd as well.
I don't know. I think for me, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm the opposite to you, Swenny, for the fact that when I was younger, like about 12 or 13, 14... We had all the games, and occasionally, sometimes, someone would sneak in a can of cider, you know, and would all sort of sip that and drink that. So we would be, you know, getting a little bit tipsy and playing games. And now we can be adults and sit there and have a beer, talk intelligently about games, have a little tournament, you know. So I think it'll be a good thing. And yeah, I forgot to mention is that hopefully in the next couple of weeks as well, we're going to get Nintendisco on the podcast, and they can tell us a little bit about the, you know, what they do, about this event they're doing, and other upcoming events that they're planning as well.
I better not slag them off then.
I don't think they listen to this podcast anyway.
No, maybe not. But, I don't know. I like the idea of, you know, you go to a bar and they've got some games there you can play. Actually, dancing away to game music, I'm not too sure. Don't get me wrong, I like listening to bands. You know, we went to the game in the Retro Expo.
And Nintendisco were playing there. We saw the Breeze Block lookalike dancing there.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? You know, and people like Breeze Block would love it, I'm sure. I'm just not too sure whether I would.
I don't know. I mean, I think Tony's going to check it out, and I think even Malk's going to be up for it. So I think we're going to go and investigate it, and then we'll report back and let you know.
I might come along, and then I can eat my own words if
eat some humble
pie. Yeah, that's it.
Now let's move on to the main section, which is the topic of the month, and it is the top 10 coin-ups.
Yes, right.
Now, once again, let me quickly explain the way this is going to work. There's me, there's Swainy, there's Glenn. We're the three hosts of the Retro Asylum, so we're going to tell you our top 10. Swainy's going to go first, then I'm going to tell you mine, then we're going to go to Glenn's number 10, and we'll move on like that. And you will notice, because we vary in age, that the games vary in era as well. And let us know if you agree or disagree. And as well, we will mention some of the other games later on, once we've done our top 10s, that some of the community have mentioned as well. So you know what, Swainy, you know what I'd say? I'd say hit that music.
Right, mate, in at number 10, it's one of my all-time top 10 favourite 10s, of all 10s, of all time. What am I talking about? I don't know.
What's it, Smashy and Nicey, it sounds
Smashy and Nicey, not half, let's rock.
Right, so tell us, what is your number 10?
In at number 10 is, and this is going to upset a lot of people, it's Street Fighter 2.
Wow. Now, it's a great game. I'm glad it's in the top 10, but I'm shocked it is
so far back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Explain why it's so far back.
It's a great game. I can't deny that. You know, it's probably the biggest arcade hit, certainly ever? Later arcade days. Yeah, probably ever. For me, I was crap at it. So that's why it's so far back.
Is that why? You couldn't do any of the special moves?
Well, you got to think. An old git like me, I was used to arcade games with 3 buttons.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there was 6, and I couldn't cope with 6.
I know exactly what you mean, you know, it was just dazzling. It was just like, how the hell am I meant to control this with 6 buttons?
Yeah, but and
it worked, I thought. Yeah, it worked.
All my friends were great at it, and I would put my coin in, and I'd just get beaten up. it was awful. But it's a great game, and, you know, I come to love the game, but for me, you know, this is our favourite arcade games. It's a great game, that's why it's in there, but right back. There's other games that I prefer to it.
Right, so let me tell you what my number 10 is. That's my DJ voice. Is Aliens the Arcade Game. Now, what's your opinion on this game then, matey? And then I'll tell you mine.
To be honest, I didn't see too much of it. My local arcades never had it in, so it's not really a game I played that much. I think I might have had a go when I went to Southend a couple of times, but yeah, I've got to admit, I don't remember it too well. I remember, you know, what it looked like, but gameplay-wise...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like a scrolling shoot-em-up. Basically, it's like a scrolling beat-em-up, but we're shooting instead. Yeah. And it was based on the film, which was done by James Cameron. Mm-hmm. And it featured Ripley and Hicks. You know, you could play those two main characters. And you had to sort of, like, destroy and kill loads of aliens, save little newts. And, okay, it's not complete. It doesn't follow the storyline of the actual movie. It takes liberties, but it does it in a way where it's charming and can have fun with it. And it's one of the games I used to play all the time. So yeah, the first time I played this game was in Elephant Castle swimming pool. I used to go swimming, and then like me and my friends, we used to go upstairs, have some drinks, have some chips, and we used to sit down and play this game. Absolutely fantastic.
How many players was it? Is it one and two? Or?
Yeah, two. It was a two-player shoot-'em-up game, so it was a great game to play. You know, really action-packed. Now, I think this was actually done by Konami, I think.
Yeah, because they've done a spate of games that were very similar. They've done a lot of, you know, scrolling beat-em-ups, and I believe Aliens was very similar, wasn't it? Like I say, it was like a scrolling beat-em-up, but with guns.
Okay, so let's move on to Glenn's number 10. Do you want to read that out, or shall I read it out?
Or Virtual Racing.
Right, so what's your opinion on Virtual Racing?
It was probably the first game I saw in 3D that ran very smoothly. It had a big impact on me when I first saw it. I thought, yeah, this is the future. I also remember it being a very expensive game. They had it in a pub down at Whitechapel that I used to pop into every night. And I spent a great deal of money on it. It was a very short game, from what I remember. It was three different tracks, I think.
Yeah, but like you said, though, this was like what set the ground for future games by Sega. You know, like in the whole 3D generation. Soon after, we had games like Daytona, Sega Rally, and so on. But I think, again, it's an interesting choice because Glenn's nearly 10 years younger than us.
Yeah.
That he chose a 3D game while we chose, basically, a 2D game.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to your number 9 game.
Is Donkey Kong.
Right, wow. So you actually played this in the arcade?
Yeah, that's how old I am.
So how old were you roughly when you played this game, and what was your experience of this particular game?
I mean, how old was I? I was probably about 7 or 8. It might have even been before that. I was on holiday, and they had it. One of these holiday camps where they have the massive arcade in there, and I loved it. It made a change from stuff like Space Invaders and Pong. Mm-hmm. Those were the sort of games that were out. To me, at the time, it felt like I was in much more control of the character. Obviously, it was Mario. We didn't know that at the time, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. It was called Jumpman, and the woman you were saving was called Pauline.
Yeah, so, you know, although they are now recognisable characters, this was the first time we'd seen them. Just a very playable game.
Very tough game, actually.
Very tough game. I remember being quite disappointed, though, with the Atari 2600 version.
I quite liked that version, Sweeney, because I was a bit young, so to me it was just nice having that version. Yeah. I must have been about 4 at the time.
I think the first level was okay, and then it was missing some of the...
Yeah, I think it was missing 2 levels. But the arcade game, all in all, great little game. And definitely worthy of being in the top 10.
Yep.
So let's move into my number 9. So let me see if I can find it. My number 9 game is Shinobi. Another game by Sega.
Yes. Great, great game. I think the music is so memorable on that.
It is. It's just, for me, it had everything. I first played this, I think, in one of the local fairgrounds. I used to go to the park.
Yeah.
I think it was Kennington Park I played it in, or maybe Clapham Common. But the music was phenomenal. And at the time, it came out when I was really obsessed with ninjas. I used to love watching ninja movies. And it really made me feel like a ninja, basically. And it was just fluid enough where you could kill loads of baddies. You had magic abilities, great soundtrack, great bosses. Never managed to finish it, though. But
no, it was a tough game. One of my friends could do it.
Yeah, so it's deeply embedded in my memory, though. It's a game of pure skill. Notable conversions, I'd say the Master System.
Yes, I was going to say. Although it brought in slightly different elements. You had an energy bar. There was a few other differences as well. It was a great conversion, I thought.
Right, so let's move on to Glenn's number 9.
Number 9 is Street Fighter 2.
Wow, okay, I'm really surprised that it's that far down as well. But yeah, we've mentioned Street Fighter 2. I think Glenn might have still been a little bit young when this came out, because again, he really started getting into the arcades when 3D started taking over, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
All right, so why don't you tell us what your number 8 game is, matey?
It's the one and only Ghost and Goblins.
absolutely fantastic game, mate. Absolutely fantastic game.
Yeah, it's rock hard. I'll always remember that opening sequence, you know, where the devil comes down and grabs your girl.
Yeah.
And that music. I love the music on the arcade version. Very, very tough game. I remember it used to be in a chip shop.
Okay.
I used to play it.
Yeah.
It's called George's Fish Bar or something. And right. He used to chuck you off the machine if you
were
longer than 15 minutes. Yeah, he'd come over and actually switch it off. And so I stopped going in there at that point. Yeah, the rares I had with this guy. But yeah, I couldn't wait for it to be released on Spectrum. And yeah, just great memories. Very tough.
Did you ever finish it in the arcade?
No, don't think I got beyond level 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just great memories. You know, on the arcade version, you could turn into a frog, and it's just silly little things that were hidden in the game.
Oh, I didn't know about that. You can turn into a frog.
Yeah, if you shoot some of the gravestones, you know, certain things happen if you keep repeatedly shooting them.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Another interesting subject. Did you know in an episode of Neighbours, going back years and years and years and years, Todd, I can't remember what the name of the actor, but I think he used to live with Jim.
Yeah.
Jim Robinson. He ran away from home, yeah, and he went to the local arcade, and yeah, he was playing, what's it called, Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, it was a well-known game at the time. I've always preferred that to Ghouls and Ghosts. I thought Ghouls and Ghosts really did take the difficulty level.
Well, quickly tell you what my, what number are we on?
We're currently on 8.
Number 8. So my number 8 game was New Zealand Story, which was done by Taito.
Yeah, great game. Again, memorable music. It's one of those games, you know, as soon as someone says to me the New Zealand Story, I just think of that tune that was in the game.
I know, I do as well. I think one of the reasons why it struck me so well was I used to like games made by Taito, and it had some colourful cartoon characters which struck me, which, you know, I was a kid, so that appealed to me. You know, it was a very interesting little main lead character, the little Tiki the Kiwi.
Yeah, the thing with that game is they were all very cute characters, and yet they were lobbing bombs and shooting laser guns. It's very tongue-in-cheek.
That was very crazy Japanese sense of humour.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, okay, it's a platformer, but it's also like a shooter.
Yeah.
It's very similar to R-Type, but with platforming elements, because it's tough as nails, that game.
It was a tough game, yeah. I love the Spectrum version on that.
And me too.
In fact, a lot of the conversions were pretty faithful, I thought.
All right, so we'll move on to Glenn's number 8 game.
Right, Glenn, what did you pick for number 8? Right, Virtual Cop.
Again, another 3D game there. We see a little pattern reoccurring. And how many Sega games? That's 2 Sega games by Glenn.
So far, yeah.
So what's your opinion of Virtual Cop then? Did you play it much in the arcades?
Not really. It was a fun game. But it was on rails, it was predictable. It's a
good
game.
In fairness, though, you could say that games like Operation Wolf were on rails.
Yeah, they were. To me, Operation Wolf didn't feel so much as a memory test, though, whereas Virtual Cop, you know, I'm sure on both games the enemies spring up at the same points every time. It's a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Conversion was pretty good. You know,
yeah.
The guns come out. It was a fun game, but this was when, to me, arcade games were starting to take liberties on their prices.
Yeah, games were like being charging as much as £1 or even more sometimes.
Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, I just didn't put as much money in them.
What is your number 7?
The granddaddy of shooters, Scramble.
Wow, okay, now this is a game that I don't think I've actually played, but I think I have seen. So remind me about this game then, mate.
Right, well, this is what Nemesis and games like R-Type owe their lives to. Scramble was the first shooter of that type. Basically, you had a laser and you dropped bombs as well, and you had to blow up fuel tankers that were littered along the bottom of the screen as you scrolled along. And, if you didn't hit a fuel tank, you'd run out of fuel and, you know, you'd die.
Who was this game made by then?
It was by, who was it, Koinami.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I might have to check that on MAME. Give it a go.
Yeah, it's, I think it's seen as a prequel to Nemesis.
Is it? Well, yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I don't know if that's official, but they're both by the same company. It's the same idea. It's just Scramble was the very first game of this type. Notable conversion goes to the Vectrex.
That had a good conversion then?
Great conversion.
Right, I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to have to find a little YouTube video. Yeah. So, let's go to my number 7.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Golden Axe.
Ah!
Now, again, Sega is showing up quite a lot in these top 10s. And yeah, that just probably goes to show, you know, like Sega were a big force when it came to gaming. They really made some great games. But Golden Axe, for me, I've got memories of playing it in Margate, and I played it on one of those huge screens that you'd sit down on, and it just felt like Conan. It really felt like I was actually in the wilderness, kicking the crap out, slicing and dicing these baddies. At the time, I thought the graphics were fantastic. I thought they were amazing. The music, the powers, really epic, I thought it was.
Yes, one of those. Yet another scrolling beat-em-up, but the great thing about this was it wasn't just more street gangs and, you know, set in a city. It was done its totally own different thing, you know, totally different setting.
Mm-hmm.
The only other game really that kind of setting that I remember at the time was probably Gauntlet, and you didn't get the same kind of vibe from those top-down graphics. With this, yeah, set in a forest, great atmosphere, I thought.
Yeah.
And a very enjoyable game.
Definitely. And notable conversion, I should say, has to be the Mega Drive version,
which is
superb.
Yeah,
superb. So what has Glenn got then as his number 7th game then?
7 is Ridge Racer.
All right, everyone. 1 minute to go. Are you ready? The engine.
Yeah.
I say another. How many has there been? None.
None. Virtual Cop was actually Sega.
It was, yeah. So yes, this is the first Namco game we've brought up. What are your views on it?
You know what? I didn't actually play that much because I actually preferred games like Daytona. Mm. Ridge Racer, I actually only ever played it on the PS1 when it first came out.
Yeah.
I didn't really play it much in the arcades. I do know that games like Ridge Racer, for going around corners, you could power slide. It was all about hitting those corners and sliding around the corners. I don't really know much more about it, really.
No.
Apparently that was made from Namco.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games, obviously, it's not very realistic. It's a very arcadey feeling game. Again, like you, I didn't really play it too much on the arcade. I think the version that I really got into was the PSP version. But yeah, I haven't got too much to say on it. I remember a lot of people playing it at the time. I don't know if I've ever mentioned, I used to go round to my cousins, and he's one of those people, he won't offer you a go of games, so you end up watching him play, and I find that very...
sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. That's the most boring thing in the world sometimes. It's different on YouTube if someone's doing commentary, but watching someone else just play a game, I find it so dull. And that's the kind of memories I had from the original.
Right, so, okay, we'll move on to your number 6.
My number 6 is... And it's another game that I used to play in a swimming pool. Not actually whilst I was swimming. But, yeah.
You get a bit of a shock that way.
Yeah, just a bit. But, yeah, once I'd finished swimming, I used to play Pac-Land.
Okay, now again, like Malk's pointed out before in the past, that game is vastly underrated.
Yeah, people bang on about Mario. Now, I think Pac-Land's a very similar game. It's probably not as fast-flowing as Mario was, but you know, there's some great platform elements in it. There's hidden features. You can skip levels. You know, the hard hat when you nudge the fire hydrants. And it was just a great game. And I don't know if you remember, it was actually based on the Pac-Man cartoon.
Yeah, which I think Malk has mentioned that it used to be shown on TV.
Yeah.
We were going to show it again, but they couldn't show it for certain reasons because what Pac-Man's wife used to call Pac-Man as a little nickname. So apparently that's the reason
why. Is that the reason why?
Well, yeah. According to Malk, it is.
Mm.
So, but yeah, you said it's very similar to Mario. I found it very similar to Wonder Boy, which
was
by Sega.
Yeah, you know, they're both platform games. Yeah, I guess it is probably more similar to Wonder Boy now you mention it.
But it's a great game. Unfortunately, the Spectrum conversion was a pile of pants.
Yeah, something went drastically wrong there. They thought they could use a flip screen method and they didn't change the programming of the ghost. So just as you was getting to the end of the screen, a ghost would come along. It was really badly thought. I believe there was two Spectrum versions in the making, because I've seen screenshots of a completely different version. So
yeah, but those could have just been a mock-up. But anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on to number six for me is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Ah, yeah.
Now, I loved that. I used to be a big fan of the Turtles cartoon. Loved it to bits. My favourite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle was Raphael, and I actually got to be him by playing this arcade game. It was done by Konami. You could sit there with, well, stand there with three friends and be the Turtles and kick the crap out of the Foot Clan, and it was beautiful looking. It still looks amazing to this day.
Yeah, not only was it beautiful looking, but it also had that theme tune. I remember going down South End with a few friends. We got on the train, got down there, and first arcade we've got into, it's there, and we just run over to it, put our money in, and we had probably a good few hours on that one machine. It was a great game.
I think it's one of the games I still play to this day, and I still play it on the Xbox 360 from time to time. If I can get a group of people to play that with me,
yeah,
I love to play that. It's a bit tough, but it's a great game.
It was quite a hard game. I remember, it was one of those. I had to put quite a bit of money into it, at least I did. But, very enjoyable.
Right, so what is Glenn's next game, then?
Okay, Hard Driving.
Right, which was done by Atari, I believe.
Yeah, very hard game. Ever played the arcade version?
Yeah, I used to love this. I mean, at the time, you had your 2D racer games, and this was the first time I'd actually ever seen a 3D racer, and you sat down there, and it looked, I sat down in the sit-down cabinet, it felt like I was in a real car, just to the exterior of the car, the way the steering wheel felt really solid, and at the time, it looked very good, but it controlled really a bit too much. It was a bit, if you turn left, you'd oversteer.
Yeah, well, I think the reason for that was because it wasn't actually originally designed to be an arcade game. It was actually...
Really?
Yeah, it was actually done to help people get used to driving cars. This was going to be a proper simulator in America when you took your driving test, or as you was learning to drive.
Yeah.
That idea got phased out simply because they thought, no, if they think they can drive on this and they go out driving like that on the streets, I'll probably kill someone. So Atari bought up, I don't know if it was being developed by Atari at the time anyway, but Atari decided to bring it to the arcades. I think it's one of those early 3D games that's probably aged quite badly and looks now, I've got to admit, I've not played the arcade version in a long time.
Well, I used to like the fact that the arcade had the stunt track where you could go, I think, did it have a loop the loop as well?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I also used to try and play that, but again, I could never get anywhere because it was too hard to control. And I really hope that real driving isn't anything like that, because I need to learn to drive this year.
That game was, it was far too easy to spin the car out of control.
Right, okay, so let's move on to number five, mate.
Right, my number five is, it's another tough one, it's R-Type.
Wow, you know what? I absolutely love that game. Who was that by again?
That was by Irem, or Irene. Right.
Okay, so tell us about this game and why it's, so high up there for you.
High up. I think it's the first stage on it. It's probably the best level. It's one of those, great first level. If you think about it, it's fit. The first level's not too hard. It's fairly possible to get to the end boss. It was a visually stunning game at the time.
Yeah.
Like I say, it was very similar, really, to Scramble and Nemesis and whatever. Those games, graphically, weren't really doing much, whereas R-Type, it was a nice-looking game, great music.
That's what I was going to mention. The soundtrack is phenomenal.
Yeah, great soundtrack. And, it was a tough game, but, if you practice, you could get quite far in it. I'll never complete it, though.
Now, let me tell you the reason why I like it so much. For me, at the time, it stood out. It was different than most shooters, because in this game, you had the Force Ball.
Yeah.
And that was a little ball that, if you collected a certain power-up, would follow you. You could shoot it. You could use it as a shield. It was indestructible. Why, oh, why they didn't make the ship out of the Force Ball material, I don't know. But seriously, they should have done.
That's
I love the Geiger-style artwork on that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was very similar to Aliens, like the first boss, I can't remember what his name is, something Tops, you know, but he's got some bizarre long name, but he does look like the alien from Aliens.
Yeah, it's certainly got some memorable bosses.
The big ship off the second level.
Yep. And the snake goes in with, you know, I won't say what I think it looks like.
It's very phallic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all we can say. So, okay, let's move on to the number five game. Outrun.
Yes. What a game.
And once again, another Sega game goes up there. Yeah. Everything about this game was memorable. Visually, it's beautiful. Soundtrack, amazing. It's just, to me, it's one of my perfect arcade games out there. I love it to bits.
It's one of those games that just seemed to be in every arcade as soon as it was released. Mm. In fact, you know, if I ever think about arcades, that's one of the first games that comes into my head.
Yeah. Did you ever finish it?
I don't think I did on the arcade. Did I?
Like I said on the last podcast, you know, a lot of kids in my school, they claimed they had finished Outrun, and it was either they were lying or they were like heroes that they actually managed to do it.
Yeah, it's a tough game. Very tough. Yeah, I don't think I did.
Multiple paths as well, which was something different to what other racers had at the time.
And again, the soundtrack. That is, they're tunes that everyone knows, that every gamer should know.
Great. Okay, we'll move on to Glenn's number five.
Right, his number five is Pac-Land as well.
Right, so, okay. I'm actually surprised that that's in there for Glenn.
It's an old game.
Yeah. See, I thought we were going to get another 3D game, but I'm genuinely surprised by that. You know, a great game, certainly deserves to be up there. All right, we'll move on to your number four then.
My number four is... you've already mentioned it. It's Shinobi.
Aha, again. All right, tell us briefly why it's so high up there for you, mate.
I think, like you said, at the time, everything ninja-related was very cool. Played a lot like another game that I enjoyed, which I've not put in my top 10. It's very similar to Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
And to me, it felt a bit like a sequel to that, in a way.
It did, actually. It did. Now you say that. It did.
Mm. The gameplay, I thought, was superb. Quite tough at times. Again, decent soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the ninja magic. It was just a very cool game.
Okay. Now, let me quickly tell you about my number four game. R-Type. But we've already said that, so we'll move on to Glenn's number four then.
Right, I've not heard of this. Who Shot Johnny Rock?
And you know what? Glenn's told me about this many a times, but I cannot remember who Shot Johnny Rock is. I haven't got a clue. So, Glenn, if you're listening to this, remind us once again, what is Who Shot Johnny Rock? I haven't got a clue. So we'll move on to your number three then.
My number three. Right, let's have a quick look. Ah, yes. This is a game I've spent a great deal of time playing. It had a great conversion on ZX Spectrum. It is Chase HQ.
Should be in your sight at any second. Over.
Nancy, we got the suspect in our sights. Over.
Right, okay, so tell us a little bit about Chase HQ and why you like it so much.
For me, it improved on Outrun's playability and gameplay. Imagine Outrun, where you can shunt into other cars. You know, the main aim of the game is to catch up with a criminal who's fleeing the city, and you've basically got to ram his car off the road. It used the same engine as Outrun.
It looked
very similar. It didn't have as memorable music as Outrun, but, you know, it had that, this is Nancy at Chase headquarters and all the speech. Mm-hmm. Great, great game. Quite tough. This one I did finish. I was able to complete that in the arcade.
You finished that in the arcade?
Yeah.
Wow.
More than once. I was on holiday. This must have been 1989-1990, and they had it there, and it was the stand-up version, so there was a sit-down version as well. And the trick was to, instead of using your turbo boost all the time, if you shifted into low gear and then back into high gear again, it kind of acted as a mini turbo.
Did Did it? I had no idea about that. I'm gonna have to try and do that. And you,
that was my way. I used to do it, and yeah, great game. Very tough, but very playable and very rewarding. I thought, you know, just the feeling of smashing into other people to knock them off the road.
Well, I'm genuinely surprised that the kids at school must have seen you as a hero once they had found out you'd actually finished
it. Well, this is the thing. None of the kids I was at school with ever saw me complete it, so they probably couldn't believe me when I told them.
Well, technically, we haven't seen you finish it. Maybe you haven't.
No, I could be blagging it. You know, you can watch all these things on YouTube these days. So.
Right, so let me quickly tell you what my number three is. Yep. My number three is, if I can remember, is Double Dragon.
Really?
Yep. It's one of my favourite scrolling beat-em-ups ever. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's my favourite game ever. That's why it's at number three. But it's very high, you know, high up there. And I love it. Billy, Jimmy Lee, have to rescue Marion. Very playable game. Visually beautiful. Very memorable level design, I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we all know that how much you love Double Dragon. You could talk about Double Dragon and stuff forever.
I won't say too much for now.
All right, so I'll tell you what, let's move on to Glenn's number three.
At Turtles Arcade, so I'm guessing he means Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, so we've touched upon that. It's interesting to see that that's very high up. Again, I think that must have just started coming out towards the dying age of 2D games on the arcades, I think.
I don't know. When was that released? It must have been...
91, 92?
I'd say 1990. Possibly 89, to be honest.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe you're right.
I don't, you know, Street Fighter 2 came after Turtles, and you had Mortal Kombat, so there was still quite a few 2D games to come. I'd say, yes, it is one of the later games, but not, you know what I mean.
Yeah, all right, well, what we'll do, we'll move on to your number two.
My number two is, you've already mentioned it yet again, it's OutRun.
Again, classic game, you know, so we've already talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to my number two, see if it's something a bit different. And actually, I'm surprised that no one else mentioned this on the forum, Bubble Bubble.
Yeah, great game.
I love this game.
It's a great game, but I found playing it in one player, it wasn't as enjoyable at all.
When it's two players, you've got to have friends to play it with.
Yeah, single player, you know, it was okay, but two player, because, you know, you had to try and get the shoes to make you go faster and all the different things. There was so much competition on the screen. You know, try and get there first sort of thing. I found it very enjoyable on two player, but it's a one player experience, kind of dull. Sorry.
Yeah, no, two player, you know, you're right, because I used to play this in the arcades with my friends. The home conversions are all absolutely fantastic. I don't think I've actually ever played a home conversion that was rubbish.
Yeah.
Because it's such a basic looking game and it's all about playability, and I think all the home conversions managed to capture it. So, okay, we'll move on to Glenn's number two.
Sega Rally.
Right, so what's your view on Sega Rally and how much did you play of it and did you like it?
It's another expensive one. Yeah, it was a great game. I kind of forget about it, to be honest, being on the arcade because I played the Saturn version an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very enjoyable. What else have I got to say about it? It was definitely a step up from the likes of Virtua Racing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I liked it. I think visually it was stunning. It was tough as well. It was tough to go around corners, but I loved it because at the time, visually, I didn't think there was anything that really matched it.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're right. And it was a very playable game. I've got to admit, you know, it's a game I've forgotten about, but thinking about it now, yeah, I had some great times on that game.
All right, so let's move on to your number one and our number ones, and then afterwards we'll quickly pop into the forum and read out what their community said, read out the thing, and then we'll round the podcast up, I think.
Right, well, it was only ever going to be one game at my number one slot, wasn't there?
Can anyone guess what it is?
Sorry to be so predictable, but it's Double Dragon.
It had to be. It couldn't be anything else, could it?
It couldn't be, really. We all know why I like the game. I still think it's the best scrolling beat-em-up. Interactive backgrounds that still, you know, this Double Dragon 2 really used the same sort of thing. Yeah, I just think it's one of the best games ever made, personally. I know loads of people don't agree, and that's fair enough. You know, you think Streets of Rage 2 is better.
I do. I think Streets of Rage 2 is visually... Well, again, I think generation.
Visually better, but playability-wise, I think that's just a clone of Final Fight, which I'm surprised no one's put on their list.
Yeah, we'll go through that in a little bit. Okay, let me quickly tell you my number one. We've talked about it already. Street Fighter 2. For me, that is one of the games that really brought people back to the arcades. I think the arcades were going through a little lull where it was getting a little bit dull, and this game brought back everyone, you know, and it was one of the games that sold by the bucket loads. Well, it helped sell the Super Nintendo by the bucket loads. Great conversion.
Yeah. I'm just going to bring one little thing up. The Amiga version. Sure. The Amiga version was crap.
biggest was it?
Disappointment. Yeah, it was awful.
It's one button, isn't it?
One button, it was badly programmed, there was no parallax scrolling, some of the moves were missing. Yeah, if you want to see a bad version, check out the Amiga version on YouTube.
All right, and Glenn's number one is Daytona.
Daytona, or whatever the singing was.
Rolling Stars.
That's it.
There we go. The only reason why I know that is because I've got it on the Xbox.
Yeah, it's recently been re-released, isn't it, on the Xbox? Is it?
Yeah, we played this when we did our little retro meet-up last year at the Trocadero. We had, you know, quite a bit of fun, very competitive. I used to work at Sega World in the Trocadero when this game came out, so I used to get free play on it, basically.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a great game. It's probably my second favourite racer ever is Daytona, you know. The only level I ever seem to play, though, is the first level. I don't really play the other levels. The first level is my favourite level, so you just go around in circles.
Yeah, again, it's another game that I remember my cousin playing an awful lot, and me just sitting there thinking, hurry up and get off.
Right, so I'd say what we'll do now, we'll quickly move on to the what people said about their top 10. So if we quickly head over to the Retro Asylum forum...
Mm-hmm.
Right, so let me quickly read what Sunshine says. I'll read it from number 10 to number 1. He put, his number 10 was Moonwalker. He says, not because I actually like it, but the premise of it just blows my mind. I'm not sure in retrospect that the creators of the game would think that putting a game out there where the King of Pop, Fanny's around the place, saving tied up children like some sort of sinister Shinobi was the wisest of choices.
He's got a bloody good point, hasn't he?
It is a bit spooky there.
Shamor! You know?
Then he put number 9, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Number 8, Enduro Racer. Okay. He put, not really the greatest game in many respects, but being able to sit down in the plastic bike and pull it back to do wheelies was awesome.
Yeah.
Made you feel like you were the fella out of Street Hawk.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed Enduro Racer. It's another game I tend to forget about these days. But yeah, thinking back, I remember playing that over the fair and having a really good time.
Yeah, the Sega Master System conversion is very different. It's an isometric style
game. Yeah, it's not a bad little game, though.
It's cheap and cheerful, very basic looking, but it's really easy, fun to play. Now, he put number 7, Mortal Kombat. Number 6, he put Track and Field. Number 5, he put Splatterhouse. Yep. He put, again, it was the first time he discovered this was at the local baths. He'd never seen anything like it before. Hacking the monsters down with the weapons was infinitely satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
At number 4, he put Cabal. Number 3 was Double Dragon.
Yep.
Number 2, Bomb Jack. Now, I'm genuinely surprised we didn't see more people put Bomb Jack in their top 10.
Mm.
And at number 1, he put Operation Wolf. He put, at the time, it seemed so advanced. Was always the first game he'd look for in the arcades. And, it was a perfect way to for the horrendous family holidays in Wales.
Yeah.
He's gutted that Maine doesn't emulate it right. So, do you want to read what Malk put down then?
Yep, let's have a look. Right, number 10, he's got Hyper Sports, tough game. He still plays it a lot to this day. Number 9, Salamander, great shoot 'em up. Better than R-Type, he says.
Ooh, don't know about that.
I don't know if I agree with him on that one. Number 8, Daytona USA, probably the greatest arcade racer and stood the test of time.
Not as good as Outrun, I don't think.
I don't think so. Number 7, Paperboy, classic game and original as well.
Now, I like that game, but I think it's more nostalgia.
Yeah, it was one of those games, I guess it was good at the time, it was I felt very hard to control on the arcade handlebars.
Definitely.
I suppose it had a nice conversion on some of the 8-bits. I'd say the Spectrum version, probably. Number six, he's got Pac-Lands. Great platform game. I think it's underrated. Yep, I agree with you there, mate.
Definitely.
Number five, Double Dragon. Best scrolling beat-em-up ever, I think. And yes, I agree yet again.
I thought you might.
Right, here's a game that I was going to put in on my top 10, but didn't. Number four, Malcolm's got RoboCop. Great movie license and a good game.
I should have included that, but I didn't know where because the other games were just that little
bit. Yeah, it was actually based. Yeah, it was based on Mike Lamb's Spectrum version. And yes, it's a good game. I actually prefer the Spectrum version myself.
Because all the versions were slightly different. Right. You had the 16-bit versions which were a mix of between both of them,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I just don't think the programmer on that was too hot and a bit ropey. But I preferred the 8-bit versions. Right, anyway, back on to Malk's top 10. At number 3, we've got Street Fighter 2. He says, the best one-on-one fighting game. Forget Mortal Kombat.
Do you agree? Mortal Kombat was pup.
Yeah, it was. It was just digitized graphics. It's all, and the gory bits that got people interested. Number 2, Splatterhouse. Best horror arcade game. There was nothing like it at the time.
I don't think there was. No. It was an interesting take on the beat-em-up, well, scrolling beat-em-up. Like, the first one was very, like, say, Vigilante or Kung Fu Master.
Yeah, I think the gameplay's quite basic.
It is, yeah.
Again, I think it was the gory graphics that sold it and most people bought into it. It's an okay game. I don't know if I'd put it in my top five, though. And at number one, Malka's got Midnight Resistance.
What's your view on that? I'm surprised you didn't have that actually on your
No,
top 10.
Because I don't know if you remember, when I'd done the 8-Bit Wars, I actually said that I wasn't a big fan of the arcade game.
Oh, yeah, you actually prefer the 8-Bit versions.
I prefer the 8-Bit versions. Again, it's a matter of taste. I prefer the chunky look of the graphics on the 8-Bit version and the music. The arcade version, if you remember, it had the rotary joystick. It was on Akari Warriors and games like that. Not bad, but I prefer RoboCop as a shooter.
So guys, I think we'll round that up. Let us know what you think of our top 10s, what games should have been up there, what games you liked, which games you didn't like. Are there any games that you feel that we've left out? And let us know what you think of Malk and the rest of the community's top 10 as well.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, what we'll do, we'll start rounding this up. First of all, iTunes reviews. We've got 14 iTunes reviews, and let me quickly read those out. We've got an iTunes review. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before. It says, Loco, but not a maniac. And that's a 5-star review by Marty Moose 69. He put, so happy to see these guys back. A great podcast with people who know what they're talking about. Love the news section. Check out the website as well. A lot of hard work has been put into it.
Right.
Now, the next review was by Turbo Nips. He put another 5-star review, full of retro goodness, by far the best retro gaming podcast on that there Tinterweb. I think I said that right.
Very nice of him to say.
Yep, and the last one, which is our 14th review, 5-star review as well, Retro Brilliance by Courtney 68. This is a brilliant, brilliant, nostalgic podcast which brings back good memories from a time when gameplay was king. Keep up the good work. It'd also be good if you could feature interviews with some retro coders. Now, like we mentioned before, me and Swainy have been working at Magic, and we've managed to grab a few big names from the past. So, yeah, should be interesting. So, what would you like to say? Any thanks or goodbyes to anyone, matey?
Yeah, I'd like to say thanks for all the reviews. Please do keep them coming. Kind words, it really does boost our morale, and we'll keep on producing the goods if you keep it coming, and I'm sure we'll keep on doing it anyway because we love it.
Right. So yeah, big thanks to the guys from Retro Resistance, Malk and Tony. Listen to the Things Like That podcast. They do it every other week as well. I'd like to say a big thanks to Asperger's Gamer 64. He's got loads of Nintendo reviews. Big thanks to Porty Boy with his Tier series, an amazing Amiga series.
Yeah.
And guys, yeah, if you feel like uploading anything to the site, please let us know and we'll have it uploaded there for you.
Cool.
We always like to see your stuff. And yeah, that's me done, I think.
Okay. Hang on, can you hear someone breathing on the line?
No?
Are you sure?
Yeah, why?
Because Greaseblock's here. Yes, I've hacked into your system. I'm going to take over. Hurrah!
Who the bloody hell's that?
That sounds a little bit familiar. It sounds like Finlay Williams.
Yeah, that's right. I used to go to school with you, Andy. You were a bully. But I knew I'd get my own back.
Right, so what brings you here then, Breezeblock?
I've infiltrated Retro Asylum. I'm the world's best hacker. And I'm going to take over your podcast. Or at least I'm going to tell people how to play games properly and cheat like I do in life.
Right, so now you're here then. So what are you going to help us cheat on then, matey?
Well, what hints and tips would you like to know?
Well, first of all, on Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo, how do you select, you know, so you can play as the same character at the same time?
It's easy, because I know, and you don't.
Right, so why don't you tell us then, okay. You strange man?
Yeah.
Who is this bloke, man? Do you know him?
Someone I used to go to school with, some big fat guy, very similar to the guy from Replay Expo who's dancing.
The dancing Wally.
Looks exactly like him. It could have been him, actually.
I don't dance.
Right, so yeah, why don't you tell us the answer then,
yeah,
mate?
Yeah, well, how you do it is like this.
Okay, here's what you do. You press down, R, up, L, Y, B when the Capcom logo appears before the title screen. The screen will turn blue to confirm the correct code entry. Enter versus battle mode, press start to change the colour of your fighter's costumes, or press A to keep them identical.
Right. All right, mate. Well, I think we should wrap this up. All right, fantastic. All right, cheers, buddy.
See you later.
Bye. So, do you want to give us your next bit of news, or shall I tell you my next bit of news?
I think you'd better remind me what my next bit of news is, because sorry, mate.
That's all right. I'll edit all this again.
I'm so crap. Let me just try and find the link.
How far did you get of that, what I was saying?
That time it's up to, you went upstairs to get some chips and then it just went.
Oh, God. Right, can you hear me now?
I can, yeah.
Right, so let me tell the story for the third time. So, yeah, I first played this game at my local swimming pool.
After not again.
Oh, man, I don't think it wants me to tell the story.